Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Jules Von Hepp.
Hello, I'm Sarah Powell.
And welcome to Wobble, a podcast about happiness and body confidence.
Because we all wobble. This is the very first episode of a brand new podcast series. We're very, very excited.
We're really excited.
This is one of those projects that we've wanted to do for so long. So the fact that we're actually sitting down and doing it is just feels brilliant.
I know. I've got tingly toes.
Yeah.
I've got tingly toes.
Darling, you've always got tingly toes. If we haven't met before, hello.
Hi, nice to meet you.
What a treat.
Oh, welcome.
How divine. So we have another podcast that is Jules and Sarah the Podcast Creative, that we've been doing over two years.
Sarah and I have been creating a comedy podcast together, that really focused on the fact that we just wanted to see each other more.
Yes.
But through doing this, I mean, we have been on quite a journey together, haven't we?
Oh, the highs, the lows,
the highs and lows. Like, it's a really funny thing. When we started recording Jules and Sarah, we didn't have any idea of the emotional and, I want to say spiritual, but there must be a better word. But I'm going to go with spiritual. Of the journey that we would be on with our listeners.
Yes.
Which hopefully you guys, the Portslade crew, are all over here having a good listen and a chinwag with us.
Our listeners from Jules and Sarah, because we talk about cheese a lot on our podcast, and they are known as the Portslade crew. So hello if you are in the Portslade crew, and hello if you are Wobble crew.
Hello Wobble crew.
So thrilled to have you. So something that we never expected doing Jules and Sarah is that the Portslade crew write to us, which is so lovely. Like, they physically send postcards and letters, and we have messages, lots of sliding into the DMs as well on Instagram. You can go and find us there, Jules and Sarah podcast, if you want to see the other podcast. But what's been really amazing is that we've had letters and stories and messages from people saying, I've been going through this, it's been really hard, or it's been really tough, or it's been really difficult. And the podcast, it's always helped, which is a really lovely thing and totally unexected. We never thought that would happen.
But it's the same consistent message that we get of, I'm going through this and I'm feeling a bit down and you guys have pulled us round. So we kind of feel this badge of honour that I get to wear, that every week we make people feel better. But what we wanted to do was create another podcast series called Wobble, because we wanted to say that it is totally okay to not be okay.
Yes.
And if you're going through body confidence issues, mental health issues, lots of different issues. Like, Sarah and I have issues. So within this first episode of Wobble, we're going to talk about what makes us wobble.
Yes.
And then throughout this series, we have got the most amazing guests coming on that are going to talk all about their personal experiences. And these are people in all different fields of life to show you that it's totally okay to wobble.
Absolutely. And that everybody wobbles. Everybody's got their things. Yes, some people suffer with them perhaps more than others, but everybody's got those things that nag at them, those things that trip them up, those things that stop them being as confident or really going for things as much. Everybody has got those little fears in them, those little things that we all come back to. Everybody's got them. Everybody wobbles.
But we are wobbling together.
Yes.
We're all together in this. This is one collective wobble.
It's one giant trifle, and just wobbling away.
it's one of these lovely projects that we've both said to each other, this isn't going to be down in the dumps, is it? This is Sarah and I love to laugh, don't we? We love to laugh.
And if you have heard the other podcast, I mean, fun-filled nonsense is quite often how
you
we
can
describe
have a,
it.
You can have a hoot at anything.
Yes.
Quite often, our podcast has saved us. And also, there are lots of different things that have helped me through life. Like, I don't even know if people know this. Like, I broke up with my boyfriend the day before we recorded a Jules and Sarah episode. And I came in, didn't I? And we went through so many tears together of crying. And I was like, I just don't know if I can do this. And then the next day, I mean, I remember sitting there in the chair and going, I feel so terrible, but I want to do this podcast. And you just push each other along, don't you?
We've had a lot of moments like that when we've come to record and we've thought, God, I feel so low, or I'm so down, or I don't have it in me today. And it's been, I mean, we've talked about it being like therapy for us, because we go in, we just kind of put all that to one side. We just have a laugh on the podcast for an hour and you just always feel better. Don't you? You always feel a little bit better if you've taken yourself out of a moment in that way.
I mean, a reason why I personally wanted to launch Wobble with Sarah is because I have co-founded a tanning brand called Isle of Paradise. Now, this brand is not your conventional tanning brand, nor is it your conventional beauty brand, because I'm not your conventional person. I, through my whole career, have stared at naked women and men, and I've realised that there is a lot of issues, be it mental and body confidence. And we love podcasting, don't we? Any excuse to get the mics together.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to, alongside the brand launch, create this podcast that really is meant to show you that it's totally cool to not be cool, and it's totally okay to not be okay, and that Sarah and I have both had our issues and we're still ticking along and we're still going for it and we're still loving our lives. But also, I mean, I love tan. I love looking and feeling my best, and that's why tanning alongside Wobble, it's all working very nicely. But in terms of, I mean, let's go into our own wobbles.
Yes, what makes us wobble? Yeah. So we're going to focus on body issues and also mental health issues. And it's amazing, certainly for me, how close those two are, actually. I've always had a really difficult relationship with food. Always. And I think I've always dieted. I've always been very dismissive of my body because I was always too fat. That was my line. That was my thing. I mean, it was always very black and white in that way. I was fat or I was thin. And if I was thin, I was happy. And if I was fat, I was unhappy. And that's kind of always how it's been. I used to say that me and my body don't get on. That was my line. I just was kind of dismissed. You know, I didn't really look down. I know that that's quite a common phrase, actually. When body issues are really bad, you just don't even want to look down. You don't want to sort of acknowledge that it exists. And my friend, I'll always remember this, my friend who's a yoga teacher, she said, you've got a really beautiful, healthy body. And I thought, I'm so lucky that this body's healthy, that this body has nothing wrong with it, actually, apart from my own stuff around
That's
it.
That's such a lovely way of thinking of it.
Yeah, it was an amazing moment. And I'm always staggered now how closely food is linked to my mood. So if I often eat emotionally, that's another thing that I always do. If I get stressed, I'll eat. If I feel sad, I'll eat. And I get stressed a lot. We'll come on to that later on. But quite often I'll think, sod it, eat something. And then even 10, 20 minutes later, I will feel really bad. I'll feel really bad about it, really low and really sad. And then quite angry. I can get quite angry about it. So that's definitely always been a thing with me. But what's interesting about you and I talking about our body issues is that I'm not bothered what anybody else thinks of my body.
No, because like, remember that first time that I spray tanned you?
Yeah.
And you, like, I've never seen anyone. I mean, I look at bodies 24/7. Yeah. I watch women get undressed.
Yes.
Probably like 10, 20 times a week.
Yeah.
And you undress so quickly and were so confident. I remember you standing there and you put your arms open. You were like, where do you want me? And I was just like, oh my God, this girl is so confident and so full of life that I would have never, ever assumed that you had any body issue at all. Your body is beautiful.
Well,
I'm saying to you as your friend, I see you as incredibly beautiful. And that's what you should see in yourself.
Yeah, it's so hard though, isn't it?
It's so hard
to say it about yourself.
It's so hard.
But the difference that we realise is that for me, it's just me. It's me not being able to look at myself in the mirror. I don't care what anybody else thinks of my body. But it's kind of the other way around for you.
I'm completely the other way around. Yeah. I think I'm totally cool with my body. Like, when I look in the mirror, I'm totally cool. But I've been on such a journey that it was more about what other people thought. So I couldn't, and very openly I'll say this, like, I have I struggled early on in my 20s with body dysmorphia. I had anorexia. Like, I have been right to the bottom and come right back up out the other side. I think doing what I do as a day job and working with bodies has really helped me in my own body. And I think learning that actually I'd rather just eat a donut and just accept that I have this wobble and it's going to be okay. I think.
And do you mean a physical wobble when you say that?
I think it's both a mental wobble and a physical wobble. There's, you know, there's always moments where you're like, how have these shrunk in the wardrobe?
Yes.
But I also think there's more to life than me looking at myself and hating my skin. I think, you know, you only have one life.
Yeah.
And I think I just know that I don't want to be spending my whole life hating my body. I mean, yeah, maybe I won't have a body that is like David Gandy's body, that is like the stereotypical version of beautiful. But something that I've learned from dating is that how other people perceive their bodies is not necessarily how you perceive yours.
Oh,
so
I'm
saying to you, I think you're so gorgeous. Mm. And say we were a couple.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
But like, I would find you so beautiful. And like, you would me. Like, sod it. This is me. This is me.
Yeah, it's really interesting what you're saying about David Gandy. Because I always believed that, you know, this black and white thing. So I either looked like Rihanna, which was the goal. And if I didn't look like Rihanna, then, well, stuff it. I may as well, do you know what I mean? I may as well go to the other extreme. It was that, you know, I was really focused on what the perfect image was. And I know there's a huge argument here about, oh God, the images that we have to see and put up with and the images that we subliminally kind of take
well,
in every
day. Well, I think we're going to, during the course of Wobble, we will be addressing social media and how you perceive images that you are being fed. What amazes me, Sarah, about you is that, like, you were a life model at uni.
I was. So I don't really know how it came about. Just I think I wanted a bit of extra cash while I was at uni. So I went to uni in Aberystwyth, Wales. Hi. The vodka was very cheap. The music was awful. And I can't even remember. I think I must have seen an advert on a notice board for life models. And it was the art department. And it was like this evening class thing that they were doing. And the funny thing about that is that's a very different environment to take your clothes off in. Everyone's expecting it for a start. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's just, you know, they're glad to be there to have something to draw. They're not really looking at you in terms of good or bad.
But for me, if someone's in the booth with me, it's just me and you. But for you to take your clothes off in front of a group of people who are holding charcoal, how did you feel when you did that? Like, because I honestly don't know if I could personally do it. I don't know if I could. I think I would love to be able to do it, but I think I hold so much stigma around with it. Like, how did you just do it?
I don't know if I could do it now. I don't think I could do it now. I think it was very much at the time I was 19 and I was like, woohoo, yeah. And what you the thing is, I hadn't really thought about it, which I know sounds really odd. I'd signed up for it. I'd booked it in. It was sort of an admin thing at that point. I was like, oh, yeah, that's when I'm going to go and do that thing. And it was only when I got there, because they ask you to bring a dressing gown. And it was only when I got there and they were like, oh, do you just want to go back here and just put the dressing gown on? That'd be great. And I put this dressing gown on and then they sort of put you in position where they want you. And then, I mean, it's do or die. You can't run off.
Well, you passed the point of no return.
That's it. Now you've committed. They need you. They're ready with their charcoals. They want something to draw. So then you drop it. And the thing is, like, nobody gasps. You know, they kind of got an idea
know
of
what
what's coming.
Yeah, yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like this. But the worst ones.
Breasts.
Yes, and the rest of it. I always remember when they started to draw me, it was always big circles. It was always boobs, you know. I'm very round. I've got a lot of curves going on. There was no straight lines at all on any of the drawings. But also the worst thing was when you'd get into position, right? And it's quite hard to stay still, actually, in a position for a long time.
Especially if you've had lots of sugar.
Well, that's it. Or, you know, a cup of tea before you went in or everything. And so that you'd be in position. And then the worst thing was when they'd go, okay, this is a really long session. So we're looking at about 45 minutes for this one. And I'd be like, oh my God, my shoulder hurts now. It hurts already. 45 minutes. And then you're just concentrating on staying still because you want to do a good job.
But like, was it liberating lying there and having people draw you?
It was cold, but yeah. It was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It definitely was. It was a nice thing. But what was weird was Aberystwyth was the very small place, so you would see them in the bar, you know, a couple of nights later, and then they'd see you and you'd be like, oh yeah, you saw me.
Because like, I mean, I know when I've done life drawing and also when I'm working, I never look at somebody's body.
No,
I never judge
don't.
Somebody else's body. Like if we're around a pool and somebody walks past, there's no way that I would look at someone's body and think, God, that body's awful.
And
God,
think that's what people are doing for us.
Yeah, so I think it's, and that's something that I've tried to constantly remind myself of, is that nobody's really looking.
Yeah. Nobody cares as much as you do.
And I had a big thing, especially in my 20s, about when it was getting naked with someone else, when you were getting down to it.
Yes.
I was very nervous about that moment of showing someone my skin. And
well, you're very vulnerable. Most vulnerable you can be.
Yeah, and also I think when you're in your early 20s, especially with what I was going through then in terms of body dysmorphia, like, you apologise and you say this and you say this and you worry about what position you're in and everything.
Yeah.
And I think something that I've learned, definitely learned as I've got older, is that no one really cares in that moment. They're just there because they like you for you. And I think that's so important to remember.
But they're probably worried about themselves as well, you know,
definitely.
In that sort of way.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's amazing, isn't it, how much your self-esteem affects your relationships.
Yeah.
You know, with who you meet and who you go home with, that sort of thing. And my friend used to say I was easily flattered, right? And I always have been. If anybody shows me the slightest bit of attention, I just can't believe it. So, you know, I mean, I got off with, you know, some people that I really shouldn't have, looking back. I really didn't need to go there. But I did. And it was always, because of my own self-esteem, I thought they were better than me. It's that thing of putting yourself lower straight away before you've even come out of the front door, before you've even opened your mouth. They are better than you because you've got this low self-esteem, because you don't like something about yourself.
But actually, in hindsight, no one is better than anyone. You are completely on the same level, instantly.
And if they think they're better, you don't want to be around them. Believe me, anybody who thinks that they are slightly better than you, forget it. Move on.
Like, I think people worry too much. I mean, if I could go back and tell myself something when I was 20, 21, I'd give myself a shake on the shoulder and say, Jules, you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
You're so gorgeous.
Yeah.
You are lovely. And there are moments in life when I know I had a boy in my bed and I was apologising for things. And saying, I remember him saying, I think you're really insecure.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, God, really, is that how somebody else sees me?
Yeah.
And I'd love to go back to that moment and not say those things and just be like, I mean, I'm glad I did because it's got me to where I am today.
Yeah,
I don't regret anything.
Oh, God, it's all part of it, yeah.
But I think it amazes me. And if you're listening and you're in your early, like, 20s, believe you me, when you get to, like, your 30s, you look back at pictures.
Yes, I was
going to
say, don't you look back at pictures?
You look back at pictures and you just think, oh, you're so gorgeous.
Yes.
You are so gorgeous.
I look back on pictures. I do that all the time. And I go, I wasn't fat. I thought I was so big then. I thought I was so awful and hideous then.
But I think what's amazing, what's so wonderful now is that when we were in our 20s, there was no such thing as Instagram. There was no such thing as social media. So we weren't exposed.
Email had only just begun when I went to university. Email. I remember going, it'll never catch on. What's wrong with a letter?
You're still faxing now.
Yeah, I am actually. I would bring it all back.
But what's amazing now is that Instagram, I think, can show us incredible things. So yeah. I follow loads of body confidence girls. I think it's so amazing. And
very
boys
inspiring.
Wearing makeup. And it's just, it is so inspiring. And what's important now is that you can just be you. I grew up in the North where at that time there wasn't a lot of differentiation, shall we say. So it was quite difficult. And I think now there's lots of clubs everywhere. There's lots of, you can fit into anything, anywhere.
Yeah, and you can find people more easily because you've got online, you can find your people.
And I think if you're growing up in an area where you maybe think, God, I'm not really like anyone around here, that's totally okay.
Yes.
It's totally okay. I haven't lived in the area where
you'll
I grew
fine.
Up for quite some time. Body issues is all related to your mind, isn't it?
Course.
It's all mental. It's how you perceive yourself within that mirror and that moment on your own. And I was talking to someone the other day and they were saying about the number in the back of clothes and how it really affected them when they were buying stuff. And I actually had a moment this weekend where I tried on a jumper and it was one size. And then I tried on a jumper, the same jumper in a different size. And someone said, well, at your age, they're bigger sizes. That's cool. And I was like, what? That doesn't even make sense.
No.
What you've just said to me doesn't make sense.
What did they mean?
They meant that because I'm older, it's okay to be a bit bigger.
Oh.
But I was like, well, it's not actually, it's got nothing to do with that. It's about how the jumper fits. It's
odd thing to say.
It's not about the size, but that's obviously their shit, not mine.
Yes.
But it is, it's all in the mind. But I've suffered with anxiety, but not like you've suffered with anxiety. I mean, I've seen you at your most anxious. We've been through moments together, haven't we?
Yeah.
Because remember back in the day, I'm going to have to explain this. Situation. Yeah. So back in the day before Sarah and I used to record, you were having a bit of a tough time.
Well, I've always had anxiety. And obviously it does get worse when things are tricky, but sometimes it's just there. It's just there because I haven't done the things that I need to do. I know that I need to meditate. And it's really interesting that we are recording this today because I have been really anxious. The last couple of weeks have been really quite tricky. They've been quite foggy and they've been quite anxious. And I haven't been doing the things that I know I need to do. I know I need to eat well. I know I need to, you know, look after my sleep. I know I need to meditate and I have not been meditating. And now it's got to the stage where I've gone, oh, it won't even touch the sides. I won't bother. So yeah, definitely in those moments. And they're kind of the moments that...
Well, back in the day, it used to take a long time to even start recording the podcast because Sarah used to have to go through all these checks. And then we called that guy. Well, we called that alter ego of yours, Vic Barlow.
Yeah, we did.
Because it was a way for me to say to Sarah, this isn't you.
Yeah.
And we'd say, oh no, Vic Barlow's coming out.
Yes.
And you used to have to do this whole routine before. And I just sat patiently. I was like, she's going to be fine. And then you'd be fine. But the more we did this podcast, the more we did Jules and Sarah, Vic Barlow is not really as prominent as he once was.
No, he's not, actually.
But you've come on this journey out of that. And we've had chats before we've done a podcast, where Sarah has been in floods of tears, haven't you? And you've been going through a really anxious time. But I have never really suffered with anxiety like that. It'll be fine. And I brush things off.
Which actually can sometimes be a really, really helpful thing because it's a really nice reflection. If I'm feeling very anxious and I talk to you and you're like, you don't need to worry about that. That's okay. There's a kindness there, which I think you're not able to always give yourself.
Yeah.
When I feel anxious, I know it's happening because decisions become really hard. Decisions become really hard because there's a fog of worry around everything. There's too many questions. There's too many consequences. So things that are very simple just become really complicated and really difficult. And then I think what happens is I get cross with myself and I get angry and I get frustrated and then eventually I get sad. And that's exhausting. I mean, that's on top of everything that you've got to do every, you know, you've got to get up in the morning, you've got to have a shower, you've got to make breakfast, right? You've got to do all these things, but to have to do them with this other fog, with all this worrying on top of it, is really hard. It makes everything so much more difficult.
But it's, I think you've hit quite a strong nail on the head, because together, I mean, as a duo, as a pair that work together and we stick together, we do have to help each other through these things. Like, I'll turn up and I can have a fall and I can have things go wrong and I can have, you know, moments where I'm like, I'm not feeling 100%, because it is okay to not feel 100%.
Yeah.
But as a friend, I think you've got to look out for each other and be like, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be fine. Like, we've got this. Like, I get quite nervous before, you find this really weird, don't you? When we go to events, on the walk up to events, you now know that this happens, but I get very, very nervous before we go in.
And
you never thought that
would
happen.
Yeah. The first time this happened, I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you all right? Are you okay? And you were like, yeah, I just get really nervous. And I just want to say that John, my boyfriend, and I have identified the walk-up as being a thing. So if you've got, it's just something that, it could be anything. You could be meeting somebody that you're a bit nervous about, or it could be, you know, something that you've got to perform at in some way, or just whatever it is. The walk-up is always worse than the thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like going to the gym. Getting to the gym is awful. When you're in the gym, you're like, well,
it's still
I'm
awful.
Here now. It is still pretty dreadful, to be honest. But at least you're there and at least you're doing it. You've not had to have that conversation before with yourself. So the walk-up is a real thing. But yeah, I couldn't believe it.
And
do you
it is? I don't know why. I think there is so many subliminal like issues that are probably hidden. Like, I was bullied really badly at school, so I don't know whether it is something to do with that, going to a large crowd of people. It's always a worky event that I get quite anxious before.
Yeah.
And it's huge. Bear in mind, I'm in and out of people's homes every day. I'm in and out of situations that I don't know every day.
Mm.
But it's just that moment where I'm going to a big function, a big event, that suddenly, and it's just as I turn the corner and I can see it, it just kicks in and I'm like, oh, I'm really nervous now. I'm really nervous. I don't want to go and I just want to go home.
Yeah.
I guess there's lots of different messages within this. Like, I hate what I'm wearing. People aren't going to like me. I'm not going to know anyone. This is going to be awful. I just want to be in bed watching telly. But you just have to push yourself to do it.
Yeah.
But I think it's so strong of me to be able to say I'm nervous and then you to then help me out. So if you are having these issues where you are maybe feeling you do get that anxious, or you do have those little wobbles along in the day, to be able to say it,
yes,
or to be a friend and ask, then you actually be able to help each other through.
And it's interesting actually what you said about you being worried about people not liking you, because although I don't care what people think of my body, I do care what people think of me, and I really want them to like me. It's really, really important to me, to the point where they are better than me because they've got a lot of power in that. Do you know what I mean? They've got the power to say I like you or I don't. I, for some reason, don't get the choice the other way. Do you know what I mean? I've got to impress them and they've got to like me, otherwise there's some sort of failure around it. So that's kind of my thing.
But you're one of those people that you can't not like.
Well, that's very kind, darling.
You can't not like you. You're just so glorious. Oh, you're like a ray of sunshine.
Oh, that's so nice. But something that always works, whatever I wobble in, is kindness. If you can be kind to yourself in that moment, if you can say, I'm really struggling today, or this is really hard, or I'm finding this really difficult, rather than going, God, why do you feel like this? Oh, you're useless. Oh, you always do this. Da, 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 da. Oh, you failed. If you can just be a bit kind, because it's very easy to be kind to each other, isn't it? It's so hard sometimes to be kind to yourself, but that is something that always works for me.
Yeah,
always.
I think as well, I mean, we've had a lot of letters before of people who have been bullied at work.
Yeah.
And that's quite a common theme that comes through from our Jules and Sarah podcast. And I've been bullied at work. It's horrible. Mm. You've been bullied at work, haven't you?
Yeah. And without realising it, weirdly, because, you know, we think of playground bullying, don't we? Which is so obvious. You know, it's name calling or whatever it is, or just general meanness. But yeah, being at work, I don't know, because we're adults, you sort of think, oh, it's all, you've grown out of it, actually. But it does happen. It is real.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
But something I've realised is if someone is going to bully someone at work, I believe that that bully is usually incredibly unhappy their life. I remember being bullied at work and then thinking, I'm going to take a little sidestep from this and go, actually, you are really unhappy. Mm. And this is all your issues. This isn't my issues. Just remember, if you are being bullied, it's their problem. It's not you.
Yeah.
It's them.
Telling somebody, actually, I think is really important.
Massively important. Having an ally at work.
Yeah.
Having someone.
And also reporting it. If it's, do you know what I mean? You might feel silly or you might feel like it's something trivial, but actually, you know, little things quite often mount up. So do speak to somebody. What always works for you If you're having a wobble, if you're having a really sort of tricky day.
Sometimes I have to just let go and let the wobble take over and let myself go right down to the bottom.
Wow. That's brave.
It's brave, but I'm also, sometimes there's nothing I can do and I'll need a cry and maybe I might comfort eat a bit, I might have a glass of wine, but I know that I'll wake up in the morning, it's a new day.
Yeah.
It's a new day. I also find phoning friends really helps. Like, I'll phone you, won't I? And I'll be like, I'm having a really horrible day. I need you to talk to me for 5 minutes.
And it's amazing how that can change the mood around. That's just what we were saying at the beginning. With doing Jules and Sarah the podcast, sometimes just taking yourself out of whatever's making you wobble, whatever's bothering you in that moment, if you can just change it up, if you can, I don't know, watch something on telly, if you can listen to something, if you can call a friend, if you can, whatever it is that just breaks it up, sometimes that can be really helpful.
Yeah, I think so. And I also think, like, you know, things have happened to me before and I've had to have therapy, and therapists have always said to me, just allow yourself to manifest within these moments. Yeah. Allow yourself to, it's okay, like, indulge the body within this, because it's okay to feel like that, but just don't indulge it for longer. Just like, and I think one life coach said to me, they were like, just let yourself go right down to rock bottom within that moment, and the next day start fresh.
Yeah, which is great if you can do that. You know, I mean, be really careful, because everybody's rock bottom's different, isn't it?
And
but I think definitely having a cry or letting it out in the sort of least LA way possible, letting it out, letting it go, and actually going, oh, right, I needed that, and now I'm fine, I can go again.
Because it's totally cool to feel like that. It's
God,
totally
I think it's
cool.
Being human, actually. Yeah. I think it's part of being alive to feel like that.
What about you? What do you do when you wobble?
I mean, the kindness thing is really hard. It's really useful if you can do it. And quite often I need somebody else to give me permission. Like, I'll need John or even you or my sister or whoever to go, you're doing really well, actually. Don't worry. Can you just, you know, it's okay. Like, I agree with you that mixing things up, sort of calling people or bringing people in, because quite often, I don't know if you do this, I'll have a wobble, right? And maybe it lasts for a couple of days, or, you know, I've been really anxious for the last couple of weeks, and I sort of pull away a bit. And then when I come back out of it, I will see somebody or have lunch with them, and I'll go, God, the last couple of weeks, they've been really hard, actually. And they'll go, you should have told me. And I think, yeah, why didn't I, actually? I should have told you, because you really care about me. And in that moment, it can be quite difficult to remember that. You can feel quite isolated, actually. And you can feel like you can't quite reach out. Mm. So, yeah, I think if you can bring somebody else in, it's always going to be okay. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's a bit of give and take there. Don't be that friend. Don't be that friend who only ever calls.
A cuddle
when you're
really
just
helps.
Having a wobble. But
a cuddle with a friend really helps.
It's the best, isn't it?
It's so lovely.
And music. Music's really good. A bit of a daily disco. If you can put some music on, you know, Christina Milian, Dip It Low, stick it on.
Elton John, are you ready for love?
Absolutely.
I had a really good morning dance the other day to Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Just whacked on a bit of Whitney and just arms in the air.
Whitney's great.
Right, life warm-up.
Yeah, that's it. So just little things like that, and just be really good to yourself. Just be nice to yourself. If you need to just, God, if you need to just have a cup of tea, actually, just have one. If you need to have a bath, go and have one. If you need to just go to bed early, and, you know, just do it. Just, I think we worry so much about letting other people down, or, oh God, what are they going to think if I do that? And actually, God, it's okay, because at some point they've probably felt the same.
I also think, like, I mean, I love beauty, so I will maybe just have a haircut, or I'll have a beard trim, or I will apply a bit of self-tan, and it just, like, it will just lift me up, and
there's a real self-care thing around that, isn't there? There's something that goes, oh, I'm worth this, actually. I'm going to do this because it's nice for me.
Yeah, and that's what I always say to my clients when we're talking about tanning and we're talking about beauty. It's not for anybody else. This isn't for anybody else. This is for you and what you see in the mirror. And if it makes you feel better, whether it's in the mind or as you look at your body, then do it, because that's worth it.
Yes. So this has been the very first episode of Wobble. We really hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thank you for staying with us. If you're still there, hello, thank you. We have got the most amazing guests, as Jules said, the most incredible guests. Every episode from now on will have a really brilliant guest who's been through something, has had a wobble, how they got through it, what they learned. Hopefully, you know, we'll all learn things as well. We'll all be able to, because we all need something else sometimes. And it's amazing how you can hear something in a moment that you just really connect with.
Exactly. And also, this podcast is all about teaching you that it is okay to not feel okay. We all have our wobbles. In this episode particularly, Sarah and I wanted to open up and be like, these are our issues.
Yeah.
So we've all got issues and that's cool. Now, remember that this is a new podcast, brand new, spanking new, some might say. So if you want to give us a rating, please do. 5 stars. Please. Or tweet the link. We are also at Jules and Sarah Podcast on Instagram. And as said before, this is in association with a tanning brand that I have co-founded called Isle of Paradise, a brand that is here for you to help you look and feel better. We believe in this podcast and this is something that we want to keep creating. So please share it. Please tell your friends. Yeah. Please talk about it, because there are issues in your head and that you might suffer with alone, but talk about it.
Yes.
Because by talking about it, you're going to help yourself along the journey.
We all wobble. Thank you so much for being here, and we will see you next time.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.